Welcome to this episode of the Mistress Podcast. I'm your host, Lady Anna. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is part two of my interview with Madame Yi Ling.
Have you ever had a session that's made you really think, you know, or really reevaluate, a really thought-provoking session?
Yes, actually, I have quite a lot of them. The most thought-provoking session is actually the simplest thing. It's when a client approached me, but he doesn't know what he wants. I had one of the sessions, he didn't know what he wanted, he didn't know who he was. Like, I normally ask new clients, novice, yeah, newbies. I say, what are you? Are you submissive? Are you a kingster? Are you a bottom? Or are you a slave? So this guy didn't know who he was. I said, what are your limits? I mean, what turns you on and what turns you off? He said, I don't know. He said he didn't know, but he wanted a session. So I booked for 2 hours. Now, that was a challenge because I've never met him.
Where did you start?
Where did I start? So we talked, and I did the very basic stuff, like he got to get on his knees. And when I talk to you, you have to look on the floor, okay? And I want you to get on your knees, hands behind your back. This is how we're going to start. Then I asked him questions, he answered. So I had to observe little things during the conversation, how he responds to some of the words I say, and how his body responds. Because if someone who's, for example, if someone can't come to your session, he's a kingster, but he doesn't know, you know, he's obviously not a slave material. And if you get him on all fours, like safe position, he will feel uneasy, right? He can feel when someone's like not really his thing. So that was hard. 2 hours.
Did you manage to get to a position where you could show him or tell him what he was into?
No, we didn't get that far, but he came back. He said it was good. It was good. And he said he needs some time to digest because it was his very first session. And it was a little bit like babysitting.
A baby sub.
a baby sub. Yeah. So that was that. It wasn't bad at all. The session was, well, in my opinion, it was okay. And he needed some time to digest his experience.
And that is quite a hard session for you to do, because usually when guys apply to come and see you, they give you some idea, don't they? They tell you what they're into. They tell you what they like, or they tell you about things that they know they definitely don't like.
Yeah.
So you are on really like virgin territory, uncharted waters. And you've got to try a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And then if you can bring anything out and see if you can figure out what there is going on in there. Or is it like a gardener and you're just planting seeds and seeing what germinates and what grows and what flowers?
Yeah, maybe that's what that was. And the hardest thing is not to overstep the mark and ruin someone's journey.
Oh,
maybe he was just at the beginning of exploring his other side. And maybe that is why he didn't know what he wanted to do. Maybe he need to have more sessions with different mistresses to find the right person who will take him under her wing. It's a self-discovery. I mean, BDSM sessions is self-discovery. So
it's multifaceted, multi-layered.
Yeah.
And some guys will go in one direction because of that mistress. Whereas if they went to go and see another mistress, they might be going off in a different direction. So it can be very much
yeah.
the mistresses as well.
Yeah. So it's first experience is very important.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting.
Mm.
I'm assuming you're bilingual.
Yes.
Do you ever get asked a session in your native language?
Phone session, yes.
Yeah. How is it different? Is the session different when it's in a different language? Is it like a different flavour to it?
To the client or to me?
Oh, good question.
Yeah.
Both.
I prefer to session in English. I feel the flow is better and a lot of words that I cannot translate into Chinese or Mandarin. Or I just don't feel natural when I use some words in Chinese, especially Cantonese, for some reason. It's really weird.
Do you know that's really interesting. You know, I have a friend, I've not seen her for years now, but I had a friend who was Polish and she learned how to become an optometrist in English. Mm. So she's Polish. She moved over to the UK, got married, had kids, went to university as a mature student, learned how to do optometry.
Mm.
But she said there would be no way at all that she could do optometry back in Poland because she didn't have the language. So she, see what I mean? She'd learned her skills in her second language and she couldn't translate it. It didn't quite work back to her. So is that similar with you?
I think so. I think it's how my brain operates. My brain operates in English. Mm. Obviously, I mean, of course, Chinese is my first language, but my brain operates in English. Now English is my first language.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Do you dream in English?
I dream in English, yes.
What do you count? Do you count in English?
I count in... I count in Chinese. That's a good question. most of the time, I count in Chinese. It's interesting.
Right.
Now so, you ask me. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, you see, I've got a psychology degree, so I know about how the brain works, you see. So when you're caning, if you're dishing out six of the best, you're counting in Chinese.
Mm.
Are you?
No, I can't. Well, the slave counts, so I don't. It's their job.
Brilliant.
Caning, I count in English unless it's an interrogation scene. For example, is interrogated by the Chinese, I don't know, like Chinese, what do you call it? Military.
You're asking me.
Yeah. Chinese military.
The Chinese gulag.
Something. Yeah. Then I will speak a little bit of Chinese. It doesn't matter if he understands or not. So yeah, back to
But it's flavor, isn't it?
It's a flavor.
It's flavor. You're giving flavor. You're frightening him.
for the client, some of them feels as such a turn on. Foreign language is such a turn on. Yes. Well, back to your caning question. I don't think I have counted in Chinese. Most of the time I count in English.
Okay.
Yeah. And most of the time I ask my slaves to count or make animal noises.
Like what?
Like a sheep. Meh.
Teach them to count in Mandarin.
Backwards.
You're a wicked mistress.
Yeah. Thank you. So are you.
Oh, I'm loving this. So much laughing. Yes. So what do you do then to wind down after a session?
A bath. I need a hot bath. Music. I meditate. I meditate, really.
Right.
Yes, it helps me to get rid of the things that in my head. Because I, especially with medical sessions, I have to plan beforehand. I rehearse my sessions in my head the day before. And okay. Yeah. And mm-hmm. with long hour sessions, I need not at least 9 hours sleep the night before.
It's intense, isn't it?
It's intense.
It can be really intense.
Yeah. So to wind down, I will have to do nothing, sit in a bath, and then I will do a little meditation before I go to bed. Yeah. I'll
Brilliant.
Do something.
So it's a way to ground yourself, isn't it? Because it's like you've stepped into fantasy land for a while.
Yes.
You're creating fantasy, because you are the producer, you are the director, you are the star.
Yes.
You're also the supporting role. Sometimes you're the chorus, aren't you?
So yeah.
When you get home and you want to ground yourself.
Yeah, it's like theatre work. You know, it's like a theatre play. And a BDSM session is not just me. It's not like just going into the room with the client and then I do my stuff and that's it. I think it's a lot of communication, lots of interaction going on, verbal or nonverbal.
Yeah,
and
lots of nonverbal.
It's just too much that I don't know how to explain. Even as simple as spanking, his breathing, and the way he responds verbally or how he responds physically. It's important.
It's a lot of information. It's information overload sometimes.
Oh, yes. Information. That's correct. Mm. Yes.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. So we've talked about pro-doming.
Mm.
Do you have another job at all?
No. I'm so full-time.
Full-time pro-dom.
Full-time pro-dom. Yes. Yes.
I'm loving it. Yeah. We haven't got time for other stuff, have we? No, go ahead.
Oh well, I do other things. I do other things besides pro-doming. I mean, not work. Like I have other interests besides pro-doming. So yes.
Are there any interests that would surprise?
Surprise those people.
Yes, like because people think that pro-doms, you know, we're mean bitches all the time, aren't we?
Yes.
Are there any interests that you've got that might surprise your clients, you know, your followers, your fans? Don't know about you.
Oh, I practice shamanism.
Do you?
I do.
Is that drums and
I drum. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant! Do you?
Yes, I talk to the trees.
What do you say?
I talk to the trees like I talk to the trees about my worries sometimes. Yeah. Yeah, I talk about trees. I talk about trees. Scrap that. It was bad. I talk to the trees, not like a maniac that, you know, I go and hug the tree. I go and hug the trees. It's like being in nature. So when I feel content when I'm engage. Is that the right word? Engage with nature or be one with the nature? Yes.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense.
Yeah, when I feel content, then I tend to start like talking about like expressing my feelings.
Yeah.
But not like talking to the tree as if I'm talking to a therapist, but I just like feeling like, oh, I have been oh, it's good. It's so good. Hugging you. Oh my God, do I sound like I'm sounds crazy?
No, it doesn't. I think it's something that a lot of people are re-evaluating, or they're rediscovering nature, aren't they? You know, with lockdown,
yeah.
Going out, not you can't speak to people anymore, but you can go and speak to a tree. So it's a great way to ground yourself. And
Yes, it is.
We live in the countryside. We've got a farm, you know, with very, very rural. We live in the countryside. So I walk out my door, I'm surrounded by chickens and horses and countryside. And it's lovely. Yes. I love it.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes. Wow. I wish I could live on the countryside. I live in the countryside. So, yeah, it's like you're going into you jump into the bath. Oh, my God, this is so good. So that's how I, you know, when I hug the tree, it's like, oh, my God, this is so good. And then I start like talking about, you know, oh, I have a really rough week and I have such and such problems. I really want to get it done. But now I want to stay here for a bit now. And then I just completely silent, just hug the tree.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Okay. So imagine you've had a really tough session. Really tough, for whatever reason, it's been a really tough session. It's really taken it out of you. Mm. And you finished your session. Tree or bath?
Bath. It will be too late to go to find a tree, isn't it? Well, carrying my suitcase like full of sex toys and go to the forest. I had a bad day. I have a rough day. I want to hug you. Don't worry about my dildos. I just need a hug now. Do you do that?
No, but I think I'm going to. It sounds great.
So yes, I love animals. I love animals. I talk to animals. That's
Oh, I do.
Yeah,
and they do understand. They do understand words. They do.
They do.
They do. They do.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I think you just have to listen. Stop analyzing when talk to an animal and just be with the animal, you know. And I don't know how you do it, but
do you think that as mistresses, because you'll say to a client, won't you, like, what are you into, you know, what do you, where does this come from, da, 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 blah, blah.
Yeah,
do you listen to what they don't say as much as you listen to what they do say?
I listen to what they don't say.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because you get more truth that way, don't you? Because it doesn't matter necessarily what comes out of the mouth. Mm. It's how they respond to what you say. So when you say something and you see their reaction, you can go, ah. So do you think, oh, this makes sense? So actually, it makes perfect sense that mistresses talk to trees and talk to animals, because we're very used to non-verbal cues, aren't we?
Yes.
I'm going to go with that.
Start talking to trees.
Start talking to trees. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to tell my trees about you.
Yeah, okay.
They will love you. Yeah. Okay. Serious question now. What would you say are some of the biggest misconceptions about your work?
Sex with clients.
That's always the first one. Oh, do you have sex with your clients?
Yeah, do you have sex with the clients? Yeah. And people think I'm mentally ill because, now this is gold. I posted a photo, it was last week, 10 days ago or something, about I used a dildo and then I put a couple of nails around. That one.
Yeah, you were nailing it.
Proton. Yeah, and explain what I use for ball nailing. The intention was, I see a lot of ball nailing clips, but they're using the wrong nail. So I posted that, and then yeah, just see what I would use, and just need a little bit, like, you know, introduction or whatever you called it, how I do bone nailing and how I play around with it. So there was a guy replied to my tweet, and he said, will you kill, would a person die?
Would a person die?
Oh, he said, will you kill someone by doing so? His exact words was, will you kill someone by doing that?
So by nailing a piece of scrotum to a plank, he thinks you can kill somebody.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, yeah.
So why is he following you?
So back to your serious questions, like sex of clients, or have I been traumatized? When I was a child, yes.
That's always the films and the there's that film, isn't there? Preaching to the Perverted. Brilliant film.
Fifty Shades of Grey.
Yeah. They've always
also
been
used, yeah,
haven't they?
Ugh. Yeah, some of the abused by mother or whatever. Yeah. Have I been abused? Was I traumatized? Do I hate men?
Yeah,
is
I get
it because
that.
I
get that when I say I'm a feminist. You hate men.
Do you hate men? You know, is it because you hate men? That's why you do what you do.
Yeah.
And talking about hating men, I went to have a tattoo. Yeah, and then when the tattoo artist start doing things on my skin and start tattooing me, and he's, I'm doing this for the mankind, giving me pain.
Getting your own back on you.
Oh God! Yeah. So,
do your parents? Do your family know about your job?
No.
No, mine don't. I think my brother knows. My parents don't know, because I just don't even want to think about my parents and what I do in the same sentence. I don't think it's any of their business. But that's what people always say to me. Do your parents know? It's like, what? I'm 50. Why would I tell my parents?
Yeah. Wow, you're 50? You don't look it.
I know, I'm stupidly young looking, aren't I? But yeah, I'm 50 now.
Yeah, wow, amazing. I thought you were in your 30s.
Did you? Yeah. Right, be more specific. What? 39, 32?
No, seriously, 35, 36?
Oh, I love you.
Do I get free spanking, please?
You can have anything you want. I'm even going to bring you a tree. I'm going to come down to your house, knock on the door with a tree and say, can you sign this?
Great, yeah.
Okay, so what? So when people say to you, oh, hey, well, so what do you do? What do you tell them?
Photographer.
What do you tell people you do?
I'm a photographer.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's cover. I hope my landlord is not listening to this. I'm seriously fucked, because when photographer, it's what I did before when I decided to take a break. I travel, and then I work as a photographer for many years.
Brilliant.
Yes, so now it's easier for everything if I have this, you know, tell people, say renting. Yeah. I'm a photographer. Yeah.
Brilliant. I like it. And it's true.
Yeah. It is true, yes. And I don't mind people know what I do, but I do not want to, like, rub on their faces, hey, I'm a dominatrix, what can you do about it? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that kind of thing. So with vanilla people, I tell them that I'm a photographer.
Yeah.
But
you don't want to go into it all, do you?
No, just, some people are not into that. So why do I have to force them to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So, excuse me. My next question is, in your opinion, do you think that BDSM has got anything to do with sex?
Absolutely. But sex isn't necessarily part of the session.
Yeah.
Am I making sense?
Yeah, it can be sexual without actually having sexual intercourse.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't seem to understand.
Yeah. A lot of people seem to understand. I mean, some people enjoy the power play to balance out their daily life, like giving away the power to a dominant woman, and as a balance. So it may be, so that's not sexual, there's no sex. It's just like power exchange in the play. But a lot of people, their sexual fantasies is being dominated or being spanked, and that's not wrong. You know, it's am I making sense? I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, it does make sense, because I mean, it's a cliche, isn't it? But the biggest sexual organ is the brain.
Yeah.
So I think that you can have a sexual experience without your genitals.
Yes.
And, yeah. True. And I have some clients, you know, and I've never seen their penis.
Mm. Huh? Is it my face that's funny?
Your face. Yeah, just huh? You kind of nodded and agreed, and then it sank in and you went, huh? I've got some clients, and they their fetish is breath play, and with the breath play that I do, they generally can't get an erection anyway. But they don't need that. They don't need to do that. So they come out of the bath. They go into the bathroom fully clothed. Mm. They come out of the bathroom with their NHS patient gown,
mm-hmm.
and then they lie down on my bench, and then we mm-hmm. do the session. Mm-hmm. And then they get off, and then they go back into the bathroom with their patient gown still on. I can mm-hmm. see the bottom. Mm-hmm. They go and get dressed, and then they come out, and they have had a perfectly adequate session. So, yeah, there are some penises I haven't seen.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so so in your opinion, would you say we are sex workers or therapists?
We are both.
Hmm.
We are both. The reason, in my own words, because we're enacting client sexual fantasies using what we know in sex language. Yes. We use sex toys.
But it's more than just that. It's about getting to the point that, I think it's like more therapists than sex.
I say we are not sex workers, it's like come across that I kind of have a problem being called a sex worker. But it's sex related, right? So... I'll tell you what I think
just about sort of the term sex workers, because I always used to have a real big problem with it when I started. Mm-hmm. In the UK, because anything to do with prostitution isn't illegal,
mm-hmm.
it's never been defined separately like it is in the US.
Mm-hmm.
So because it's never been defined separately, because there's no reason for it, because it's not illegal,
mm-hmm.
We come under the umbrella of sex workers.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
So, you know, if you're on the phones, it's sex. If you cam, it's sex. If it's if you're a prostitute, it's sex. If you're an escort, it's sex. If you're a PD, it's sex. So we kind of are sex workers, but I might need to rephrase the question.
Yeah. What about like sex therapists?
Yeah. So are we sort of sex workers, or are we therapists, sort of saying that actually we probably spend just as much time on their mind as we do on their balls?
Well, domination is unique, because we are taking clients to a special journey where he is free to explore himself and what is happening in his inner world. Without proper training, like breath play, medical play, or other types of BDSM play, you need a little bit of training, right?
Yeah.
without training and the genuine interest in the in the client's interest, we cannot do what we do. Am I making sense? This is how I feel about, this is probably my answer to your question. Are we sex workers? Because we are under and we're under the same umbrella. So
I think legally we are sex workers, but I just think that we're more than that.
Well, of course, yes.
It's and I think that most sex workers are more than just sex workers as well. I think nearly every sex worker, every type of sex worker is probably also a therapist, because you're not just dealing with genitals, are you? You're not just dealing with fetish or fetish and kink isn't just about the body. It's about what's going on in the mind. And they need they need to know that you understand them. Sometimes they're looking to you to explain to them what they are.
Yeah.
And why?
Yeah, that is the core of what we do. They need people to understand them. It's like they need people to speak the same language as them.
Yeah, yeah. No, that does make sense. I mean, this is where films get it wrong, don't they? Like 50 Shades, the films get it wrong because being a dominatrix is just cracking a whip or lick my boots.
It is not.
And it's not. We are therapists in corsets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And BDSM session it's about psychological balance. I think having a session. I think I should rephrase that better.
No, I think that is right. It's like yin and yang, isn't it? It's like if they're out in the workplace, they're getting an awful lot of yin because they're in that position where they've got to make the everybody's looking to them for responsibility. They're responsible. Everybody's looking to them to provide the answers.
Yeah.
So sometimes they've had so much yin, they need some yang, and we give them the yang.
Yeah.
Because we ground them.
Yeah.
Bring them down to size, reduce them.
Bring them to
down
balance. Yeah.
Yeah. And then kind of like reduce them down, but then build them back up. So we give them sort of balance.
Yes.
Hmm. Makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, just going back to how the films don't always get it right and TV shows don't always get it right. Tell us about The Diary of a Call Girl with Billy Piper.
Oh, Billy is very nice. She's very nice. And it was 2007. The producer of The Diary of a London Call Girl sent me an email. Or she called me up, I don't remember, and asked whether I'm interested to. They wrote a script. They need someone with the experience to. It's not proofreading. It's just
a consultant.
Yes, exactly what they called me to consult the scene for them.
Yeah.
So
to give it some authenticity.
Yes, exactly.
That would never happen. Try this instead. Did you have a lot of input?
Yes, I did. I was on set for 4 days with them.
4 days?
Yeah, I wasn't in the film. If you remember the lady, the dominatrix called Serona in the episode. So that's how I created that.
The whole look?
The whole character. The look, the character. And So I was on set for 4 days, and then I look, I give them feedback in particular scenes and what else did I do? What else do you want to know about?
well, I'm just, for those people that haven't seen this particular scene, the character that Billy Piper plays, I think she's called Hannah. She was interested. She needed, I think she had a client that asked for some BDSM.
Yes. Her accountant. Yes.
It was her accountant. Right. So she called a friend in to say, look, you're going to have to show me what this is all about.
Yes.
And a friend turned up in full regalia.
Yes.
Yeah. With a slave in tow. And I think he was... Did he have a lead on?
Yes, he had a lead on. Like a dog
Yeah. So then they were having a discussion, like a coffee, weren't they, at the table?
Yes, yes.
He was underneath the table.
Yes.
And the character told Billie Piper to just kick him. So they were just kicking him under the table.
Yes, yes.
And then the other part of the scene that I remember is that she went to go to the toilet.
that's my favorite. Yeah. When I asked them to clean the toilet with a toothbrush, that's my idea. And then we all had a good laugh about it. Sorry I interrupted you. Yeah.
And then while she was sat on the toilet, it cut through to like Billie Piper's face, and all you could hear was his voice saying, "Wipe." It was a command from the Dom to him to wipe. Yeah. So my question to you is...
Did I create that?
Did you create that? And do you get somebody else to wipe?
I created that, yes.
Brilliant.
Well, that was fake. That was fake, okay?
Well, what do you mean it was fake? You can't tell me that.
In the episode, of course, it's not like really him licking, cleaning the mistress, right?
No, I know. Because you don't... You don't see anything. It's on her face, and you can just hear that character shouting out, "Wipe!" So it's the imagination that makes it all up. But
I did want
to know, was that your idea? And
yeah, that was my idea.
Do you get somebody to wipe?
Oh, he got to be very lucky to wipe me.
So it's I mean, you're like me, it's a laugh, isn't it? The whole thing is just so much fun, and it's a laugh.
I'm not sure whether people will get anything out of the podcast because we laugh so much.
Well, I hope so. I better do. We'll soon find out. You're like me, you've already retired once and you've come back.
Yes.
So when do you think you would hang up your stethoscope or your cane?
My boots.
Or your boots. When are you going to hang your boots up for the last time?
I don't know.
Are you going to go forever, for as long as you can?
How do I explain? I was going to say when my inner self start telling me to do something else. When life bring me other opportunities that not only work or maybe life, maybe I need a change, whenever I need a change, then I might. But right now I haven't thought about hang up my stethoscopes yet. Yeah. So
while you are still with us,
mm-hmm.
enjoying yourself,
laughing my head off, yes.
And assuming that lockdown will end,
yes,
and that we will get back to some kind of normality, mm-hmm. as much as normal as we can possibly be in our clinics,
yes,
and our dungeons.
Yes.
How can people find you, and what sort of clients are you looking for?
Okay, well, I'm on Twitter, so if you Google Madame Li Ying.
I'll put your links in the show notes. So
So
Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Twitter, my website, and if you sign up for my newsletter, then you get to see my session teasers, get to see a bit my style, which is always good. You'll find me on social media, Twitter, website. And now we're on Twitter too. We're everywhere.
Yeah, I'm only on Twitter because I followed you.
Oh, really? Like,
oh, what's this? Yeah, it's your fault. Yeah.
All the so dodgy stuff.
What's this? I need to find out. So, I'm on Twitter too. So I'll put your links down in the show notes.
Yeah.
it's been so nice to talk to you.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
And I'm so glad we did this, because you see people's images, don't you? And you,
yeah.
And you don't really kind of know who they are. So it's just
always
so,
looks
so
serious. Yeah. Yeah. I know.
I know. Okay. So yeah, thank you so much for coming to do the interview today. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. Yes. It was a good chat.
It was a good chat, and it was such a pleasure. And we spoke about an hour before we actually even hit the record button as well. So,
Jamie, oh my God, it's 3:33.
Yeah, so you're going to have to go and hug a tree before it gets too dark.
I'll send you a tree hugging photo. Now, I want a tree for my birthday.
Is it your birthday? When's your birthday?
No, I was joking. I mean, I want a tree on my birthday. I'm a Leo.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, you want a tree? You want a tree?
I'm gonna come and visit you.
You can't really hug a little bonsai, can you? So you'll have to come up and go and hug our big trees.
Yes, yes. I'll come to your house, dress up as Catwoman. I'm not a fan. Can I have your autograph?
Okay, I'm going to stop it there. Let me take off recording. Thank you so much for listening. Feel free to contact me via medicalmistress.co.uk/podcast, where you can leave me a voice message and read my blog, Mistress Musings. You can also subscribe to the podcast on this page using the RSS feed, as well as your favourite podcast platform, to ensure that you never miss out on any future episodes. If you would like to support my podcast, you can go to my Patreon page and see my patron benefits. Top tier patrons also get access to my Pillow Talk episodes. Many thanks to everyone who has supported me so far. Thank you, and have a good night.